Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Accessing the Promises.
2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm so glad it didn't just stop there. He said, they're given us, he calls the promises exceeding great and precious, that by these promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. We can be like God wants us to be. We can do what God wants us to do, have what God wants us to have, live as God wants us to live by taking these promises, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we say God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. The scripture makes that very clear. And these are promises are applicable to every area of our life. Everybody say every area of my life. And now, whether you know them or not, that's up to you. But there's a promise in God's word, and there's a scripture in God's word. There's a word in God's word for every area of your life. And then even when you don't know completely and, you know, as to down to very specific things, that's why God's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, so we can pray and we can get answers. I was been watching our broadcast this week. Somebody say, you watch yourself? I sure do. Because I don't see myself while I'm preaching. I see y'all while I'm preaching. So I got to look at myself while I'm preaching to look better when I'm preaching and to do things better, to critique myself. And I was watching our broadcast, and we've been teaching on the broadcast about the benefits of tongues and speaking those things. And Pastor Marcia especially was talking about how when we pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, that God gives us answers. That God gives us answers. The Bible said that the Spirit searches the mind of God. So it goes into the archives, the files of God, and brings us out the answers that we need. There are answers for every situation you go through. There are answers. As Pastor Dollars always say, there's always answers awaiting in the presence of God. Now, whether you're going to take the time to get in His presence will determine whether you get the answers. Amen. I have people around the church who tell me, I said, well, I didn't know you were going through that. Why did you ever come? Well, Pastor, I know you so busy. I always hear that one all the time. I know you so busy. But part of my busyness for my sons and my daughters and those connected with me, you are part of my busyness. So I can't be so busy I don't have time to be busy doing what I'm supposed to be busy with. If I'm so busy preaching all around the world, I can't take care of y'all here in the church. Now I'm too busy. Okay, but my point is, I'm making about that is this. There's sometimes people going through, well, I didn't know what to do. Well, I said, I could give you an answer to that. I could give you wise counsel on that, but they didn't bother to ask me. And likewise, same thing with God. Their answers are waiting in His presence. And I often think about, I don't know how people live without a God to talk to in this world. And when I say a God to talk to, and for me talking to God, I'm not just talking about communicating, like getting something off your chest. You know, I'm not talking about just, as they say, speaking to the wind and cussing at the moon. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about dialoguing where you can talk to God and He can give you peace. And He can give you answers. Amen. That when you can't talk to anybody else, and we all need to have a relationship with God, that we come, that we know Him as our Father, somebody who loves us, who cares about us, somebody who we can go to for answers. So by these promises, we can be partakers of His divine nature. And so we've told you so far that all the promises of God have to be accessed by faith. That's how you got saved. You got saved by taking the promises and accessing those promises through faith. Romans 10, 8 through 10. The word is nigh thee, even in your heart, even in your mouth and your heart. That's the word of faith that we preach. And then you have to get involved in it. That if you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, well, why do you have to do this? Because these two parts got to be involved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So I have these promises. Now I got to believe these promises in my heart. And then I got to confess these promises with my mouth. I have to believe them in my heart. And I have to confess them with my mouth. Otherwise, they're just promises. But if I'm going to access these promises, I got to believe these promises in my heart, and I got to confess these promises with my mouth. Now, if we could all just really discern that and understand that, we can just close the Bible and say, okay, praise God, I'm glad y'all came out today. Let's move on, and let's not have Bible study for the next 3 weeks. But you can know that and not practice doing that. And, well, why do you do that if you don't really believe? So we've been talking about this, the order of God. God sends a preacher to preach the word. People hear the word. You're supposed to believe the word. And you call on the Lord for the word you heard, and he gives salvation, soteria. Whatever we need, you've got to get a promise that is there. Know that the promises are there, and then you access those promises. So I think I left off talking about the fact that God is a supernatural God, and he wants to do supernatural things. Amen? God's will say that. God's a supernatural God, and he wants to do supernatural things. So Jesus tells Mary at the grave of Lazarus in John 11, he tells her that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. He said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So why don't more of us see the glory of God? Because we don't believe. He said, Mary, I'm telling you, it was Martha, I believe, who ran out to him first. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And in this case, what he's really telling her, if you work with this preacher, he's telling her, you're going to see God do some things in your life. Jesus tells the man with the lunatic son. The man says to him, Lord, he says, I brought him to your disciples. Your disciples couldn't heal him. And he said, well, I brought him to you. So if you can do anything, just help the boy. Help me and help the boy. And he said, if you can do anything, then help me. Jesus said, it's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of what you can believe. He said, you can't throw this off on me. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. It's not a matter of whether I can do it or not. We got to get that settled, y'all. It is not a matter of whether God can do it. It's a matter of whether we believe he can do it. I mean, y'all deal with that at your level. I got to deal with that at my level, too. You know, I got to build buildings that cost me multi-millions of dollars. And sometimes I go to God reminds me, it ain't a matter of whether I could do it. It's whether you're going to stay in faith that I can do it. Whether you're going to access the promises by faith. Okay, we got all the promises that says everything's available. By these, we can be partakers of his divine nature. We have exceeding great and precious promise. We got to get our faith involved, though. Okay? And for lack of a better word, just to kind of put it in colloquial terms, got to get your faith game up. Amen. Just like some of us, we need to walk in more love. Some of us, we got to walk in more faith. We got some very loving people. They're very loving. They're the sweetest people in the world. They don't operate in an ounce of faith. And then you got other folks who try to operate in a whole lot of faith and then don't walk in love. That ain't going to work, because I'm going to show you in a minute that faith works by love. So you can operate in love and not operate in faith, but you can't operate in faith and not operate in love. You're with me here. All right. So we said that God's love for us makes the promises available, but our faith towards him activates those promises in our life. His love has made the promises available, but our faith towards him activates those promises. We also said this, grace, we're hearing a lot about grace today, grace makes the promises available to us, but faith makes the promises applicable to us. Grace makes the promises available to us, but faith makes the promises applicable to us. And when I say applicable to us, I'm talking about getting down to you, what you will see in your life. I'm not talking about what's available to the church, to the body of Christ. I'm talking about what's available to you. What's available to you is only going to be applicable to you if you use your faith. His grace. By Jesus' atoning sacrifice at Calvary, his grace has provided healing. His grace has provided deliverance. His grace has provided peace. His grace has provided joy. His grace has provided everything you need. But it's going to be your faith that makes what his grace has provided for you applicable to you. Are y'all with me? So faith activates the promises. Go to Hebrews 4. Faith activates the promises. I don't want to know the promises. I want to activate the promises. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be being left us of entering his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What I want you to see from this scripture is that there are promises you can come short of. Do you all see that? He said, verse 2, because now he compares, he's taking the example of the children of Israel in the wilderness and how some of them benefited from the word and some of them didn't. At any time that I'm preaching, some of people are going to benefit from the word and some aren't. Adam, I may not know who they are. Okay. And just because you've been here a long time, sometimes you got to be careful when you've been around a long time because you start taking the word for granted. Yeah, I just go to church. Yeah, I just, you know, what I'm supposed to do at noon. I ain't respecting nothing. You know, that pastor's my church. This, right direction of my church, pastor, my pastor. And I go here and see what the man going to say. 30 more minutes, I'm out of here. I can say I went. Then so I don't have to feel convicted when he say on Sunday, we'll get 2 feedings a week. Got my 2 feedings. Please leave me alone. Let me go on with my miserable life. Okay, you may not say my miserable life, but unless you take the word and mix it with faith, okay, it's not going to profit you. He says, for unto them was the gospel preached. Everybody hears it. It's all preached. It's preached to everybody as well as unto them. Unto us as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith in them that heard it. Was that what you were talking about last week when you had your pot here? I think you were talking about mixing. Yeah. Okay. So you have to take what you hear and mix it with faith. Now, the word that you hear is here, but the faith is here. And so unless it longer stays here, out external, you got to take an internal and mix that word with the faith that God has given you. And we know God has given to every one of us what? The measure of faith. Okay? Now, it's all, you know, how many of y'all know just because you can cook don't mean you cook? Okay? So you can choose to come in and not cook. I ain't mixing it. How many of you know you can have all the ingredients in the house to make a cake? But unless you put the flour and the eggs and the butter and some vanilla extract, whatever y'all put in the cake. Okay, somebody say, I don't do all that. All I do is get this little red box called Duncan Hines, put some water in there, and I'm fine. Okay? But I know I'm down south. Some of y'all really make a cake. Okay? So you can have all the ingredients there. All the ingredients are there, but you're not going to have a cake unless you mix that stuff together. So you can come to church, be a Christian. All the ingredients to make a wonderful life are available to you. But unless you mix it together, you're not going to have a wonderful life. Yeah. Are you going to take what you hear and mix it with your faith and say, I can have that? I heard someone, we read some people recently, they were talking about some of the stuff that we've preached over the years. Maybe some, you know, talking about it was gimmick. I ain't never preached gimmick. Because everything I preach you, I've done. I don't preach gimmick about sowing seed because I sow seed. It ain't gimmick to me about sow an abundant harvest so you can get an abundant need met. That ain't gimmick because I work that. I mix my faith with that. Now, maybe somebody else, now, quite honestly, now, I don't mean harm, but I didn't see preachers use this gimmick. So you can preach something and not live it. You can say, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. Do you realize it is possible to get saved from somebody preaching the gospel who's not saved? That just stumped some people. Well, how can I get saved from somebody preaching the gospel who ain't saved? Because if he preached the gospel and tell you Jesus Christ, the word says he died for your sin, he rose for risen for your justification, and if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead and he can lead you in a sinner's prayer and you get saved, and he'll be lost. Because he don't believe that. But you mixed it with faith and you got the results. See, a lot of people don't understand. I just don't understand. Because they can just be preaching the word. Paul talks about that. I don't have time to go to it. But I believe it's in Philippians. Paul said people preach the gospel. People preach for different reasons. Some people preach to compete with one another. Paul said, some people preach to add to my bonds. And in other words, they're taking all their time preaching about me being in jail, to add to my bonds. He said, but I don't care for whatever, whether their motives are right. I praise God. Paul said that the gospel is preached. So the gospel is the gospel. The word is the word. But you are going to have to get involved with it and mix it in your life. Mix it with the faith that's in your heart. Now, we all know we all have the measure of faith. Okay, do I have to remind you all that? Let's back up to Romans. Romans 12:3. If I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man what? The measure of faith. So we all started with the measure of faith. Now, you can increase your measure. How do you increase your measure? By using it. Okay? You increase your measure by using your faith. So the more you use your faith, and the more you take the word and mix it with the faith you have, the more your faith will grow. Faith grows by using it. That's good there. One scripture says, by exercising it. Okay? All of y'all, we all have muscles in here. Some people's muscles are more developed than others. Why? Because they use them more. Okay? And what causes muscle building? Resistance. That's good right there. What's going to cause you to build your faith? Resistance. So don't say you want your faith to be increased without any resistance. There's going to be something that tries to stop you. There's going to be something that tries to block you. There's going to be something that tries to hinder you. There's going to be something you're looking at that looks like it's impossible. Resistance. But when you use your faith to push against it, when you use your faith to push through it, when you use your faith to keep on going when the devil says you can't do it, that's how your faith increases. So if you want your faith to, watch this. You can give up. Look at your situation as it is and say, well, hey, this is the way it is. Some of us going to be poor. Some people going to be rich. Some people going to be happy. Some people going to be sad. Some people are going to be healed and some people going to be sick. What you really tell me, you're not willing to use your faith to resist all that negative stuff that's coming at you. And if you won't use your faith that you have, and God has given you the measure of faith, if you won't use your measure of faith that you have to resist the devil and everything associated with the devil, you're not going to be strengthened in your faith. Your faith's not going to get any stronger. So watch this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But now I also realize that it's not just hearing it. It's applying and exercising what I hear. Otherwise, you're just going to become word fat. Just word obese. All this word. I mean, y'all know. Come on, don't raise it. I mean, don't point to them. But okay. But if y'all know any word obese people? I said, what's word obese people? People who always got the word, never applied nothing. Who can always give it to you? Who can quote all the scriptures? You know the word says he's a healer. You won't even give God a chance to heal your cough. Now we laughing about that, but seriously, we got to start with little things. We got to start with little things. You got to be careful. You got to be careful because if you've been raised, every time you get a cough to take something, that's what you just get used to. I'm not preaching his medicine. Please understand, I'm not saying that. But give God a chance. You know, I've heard people. I've blown my nose. Somebody said, Pastor, what you taking for that? I don't have cancer the nose. I just got a little runny nose right now. I don't need to take nothing right now. Now maybe I'm going to take something, but I'm going to give God a chance first. Lord, deliver me from this sniffle. I mean, you got to start working your faith on something. Okay? I mean, you got to believe God for $50 before you can believe him for $500. And you change that by what you say. Stop going around saying, I don't have the money for this. I'm not going to have the money for that. You know, my daughter got a wonderful opportunity right now to go to New York. Wonderful. And she's going to be intern there all next semester. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. She's just so excited. She's just so happy. She has the opportunity to intern the whole semester for Cosmo Magazine on 57th Street in New York City. Wonderful. Hallelujah. It's only one problem. She needs some place to stay while she's going to be there. And as much as she thinks she's suave and sophisticated city girl, she's a South Carolina country girl. And I know what it is to be in the city, so I'm taking her next week, and we're going to look. I'm going to trying to find a place within walking distance where she's going to be. I don't want her commuting, and the more I look where she needs to be, I'm seeing everything, and we're starting around $3,000 a month just to rent a studio, one-bedroom apartment. And I was starting to stress about this thing. $3,000, you know, I got a whole house over there. I got a 6,000 square foot house on an acre land. I got a tenant who ain't even paying $3,000 a month. I was starting to get stressed about this thing. I said, Lord, I just thank you for the money. And you can either give it, and I start calculating. I said, Lord, it's going to be about $15,000. And then you can give it to me all one time, or we can pay it as we go. Choice is yours. But, and then I thought about, I said, and it starts stressing. I said, I got the first month, and I'll have the second month if I need to. Okay? And watch it. So here's an opportunity to use my faith. Or I could have shut the whole thing down. Now, just forget about this internship. This ain't going to happen. You don't have no money, do you? The way our parents would tell us. Mom, I got to. our parents. Mom, I can do an internship. You got internship money? Was any of y'all raised by that mom or the father? Now, shut that down real quick. That's over. I got an opportunity to go to New York City. You got New York City money? So another opportunity, watch this. Either I can immediately talk negative or say it's an opportunity for God to show himself strong using my faith. The truth of the matter is, y'all, a lot of times, let's be honest, we lazy. I don't feel like we lazy. I don't feel like using my faith. We got that sweet brown spirit. I ain't got time for this. I'm already believing God for this. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to believe God for no going to no marriage conference. I don't have time to believe God for no $1,000 getting no building fund. Please. It's not that we don't have the faith. It's many times we don't want to get involved in the process of using it. Can we be honest about that? Come on. Can we be honest about that? And y'all ever been going through anything where you say, I don't have time for this. What we mean, I don't want, even though God can bring me through, I don't feel like confessing God going to bring me through this. So what we do, oh, this is so good. We run away from a faith fight that could strengthen our faith and get us to the next level. I don't like working out. My wife, you know, she gives 5 o'clock in the morning, drive from where we live out on the lake, way over the northeast somewhere over there. To go work out. That's crazy to me. All that gas. Okay. So she says that we were on vacation. She's up early in the morning before I get up out working out. And she said to me, working out is fun. So last week I took my sweatpants, took my sweatshirt, left my sneakers home. Oh well. Guess I can't work out with you. Now, I can do it. I have all the ability to do it. There's nothing health-wise that restricts me from doing. I just don't like doing it. But if I do it, I can get the results. Really, I don't even have any interest in even watching those shows. The Biggest Loser and all that. Pastor Marshall likes watching that. I came last night, won't turn the channel. I'm watching that. No, I said, why? And then I hear him talk. You're going to tell his little girl. I said, just during lunchtime, just while the commercial's on or something, just get up and sit down. Get up and sit down the whole time. I'm like, I don't like that. But obviously, that's going to motivate that person. I'm like, they got a problem getting up and sitting down. The bottom line is how bad you want it.
God has given his assurance to those who believe in his word. Those promises are sure, but you must know how to access them. Learn how to make the guarantees of God's Word a tangible reality in your life. In this four-part series, Dr. Herbert Billy takes you through the steps to access the promise. Order today on CD or DVD. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for Accessing the Promises.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please email or send a letter sharing your testimony. Email us at praisereport@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina, 29221. We'd love to partner with you in taking the Word of God to places where it's rare and precious. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, call us in Columbia at 803-798-1230 or in Orangeburg at 803-531-7322 or toll free at 877-798-5433. You may also visit us on the web at rightdirection.info. Continue to listen to that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it."